One of the things that we do when we pay our obeisances, we take our shoes off before we pay our obeisances. And I wondered, why do we do that?
One's not meant to be. One of the 64 items is when one enters a temple, meaning when one performs worship, one takes their shoes off. Shoes are dirty things that you walk with. And it also, so when you do worship, when you offer respect, you need to do that in a clean state without having one's shoes on. And it's also a symbol of an expression of humility. On the other hand, I don't, it's like sometimes arrive in an airport. So devotees offering obeisances, that's all right. But when they start taking their shoes off, people really look. They don't look at the offering obeisances, but the shoes, I was thinking, this is a strange thing, a strange ritual to take your shoes off. And that's really sort of weird. So I wouldn't recommend that. It's not. And it's also, well, sometimes one wants to reciprocate with, if someone's bowing down. But when you take your shoes off, that really adds time to the whole process. In other words, you have to stop, wait. And so, generally that, to consider where should those things really take place. But in public places, it's a very strange thing. People's faces, they can't figure out how all of a sudden these people are taking their shoes off. That's arrest them as one of the shoe bomber. About to set a bomb off or something.
Prabhupada, what he should do with his mother, and he said, you should pay your obeisances. So he knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and she couldn't see anybody.
Yeah.
There's a question as well, Grimwash. This morning, Chandramani Maharaj was giving class, and he was saying that.
But just before, the one thing that I really noticed has become sort of a habit is that devotees just bow down. They just touch their heads to the ground. And rather than actually saying pranams, even when they're either when they're coming in the temple room or even if they're offering pranams to spiritual master, and that's Srila Prabhupada, and that's not right. That's like pretty empty. The essence of offering obeisances is the respect and actually saying those words of respect. When that's really sort of not there, then it's better than nothing. But it's still not what it's meant to be. So that's why, and then Srila Prabhupada said, it's not even enough just to say them quietly. It's meant to say them aloud so that the person can hear. It's like, you're greeting someone. You don't say aloud hello. You're expecting, that they'd say hello. But so just move your mouth, or you just say it in your mind. The whole idea is that it's meant to be a form of greeting, a form of salutation, a form of offering respect, glorifying. Because that's the function, is the disciple supposed to glorify the spiritual master, say some words of glorification. So that's what the pranam mantra is, words of glorification.
Mother Moksha used to always tell us off when we were in Gurupur, because a lot of children just used to, she used to call it shoppers. She's like, stop chopping, just like put her head down and not say any vowels when we enter the temple.
Yeah, where they just say Namo.
Raghav used to say perhaps, right? Haribol perhaps.
Yeah, and then same thing what devotees say to each other, and rather than offering respect, Vaishnavas offering, they just say a bunch of. Can't imagine. Sanat Rupa Goswami saying that to Sanat Goswami. Yeah, so we shouldn't let an artist get in the way of proper spiritual practices and not change them, because you know then when the new devotees come in the temple and they see the old devotees just bowing down, then you know, rightfully, they just think, well, that's what you're supposed to do, and that's all they have to do is bow down. They don't offer obeisances, and then in no time, the whole process that Prabhupada gave us has changed. Okay, now I'm going to shift over to the desire and Krishna's mercy. You can't purify your heart on your own. I mean, you can, but it's a long process, and one has to be really determined. So one can attain a level of purification. Maybe Brahmavadis can purify themselves of lust and greed and anger and so on. Why do they come back down again? Because they're in a unsatisfactory situation. They have no engagement. They don't know what to do. So even they may have been purified, but without Krishna's mercy, one doesn't get his service. And ultimately, without being a service, since we're Nityadas, then you come back and you start doing service in the material world. But even for practicing devotees, we really have to make an effort, 100% effort, to purify our hearts. But it's a gradual process, especially since the instruments that we're using to purify our hearts are themselves not pure. We're using the holy name. The holy name is pure, but because it's covered with our anartas, therefore we're just chanting a reflection of the holy name, a shadow of the holy name, or whatever, and that has a very slow effect. Same thing. Hearing Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, the quality of our association depends upon the level of our Krishna consciousness. And if we're not very Krishna conscious, then we can't take good association even with advanced Vaishnavas, what to speak of if we're associating with less advanced Vaishnavas. So that way purification takes place, but it's slow. It's like cleaning with a dirty brush, dirty broom, dirty water. So, if devotee is really sincere, despite all of the obstacles, all difficulties, one is actually sincerely desirous of advancing in spiritual life, then sure, what these are. Then Krishna can effect all kinds of miracles on his own very quickly and very easily. És Sámbi Hári, te tudod, hogy ezt hogy kell felrakni? You know how to put these on?
Asked.
Yeah, is it like this?
No, Chobarnik.
I'm not to be Chobarnik. It comes around like that. We're not on this side. And then what about this? No, I can't believe this is coming like this. So, getting back to the question, there needs to be the devotee really sincerely wants to advance, but he's sort of slowed down by his own practices, but then he prays to Krishna, and then Krishna can Redantosto Hivadrani with Hunoti Suritsita. Krishna can enlighten him from within the heart. Krishna sitting in the heart. So we can facilitate and make everything happen very quickly. Interesting.
I have to try and put my daughter in the
middle. It's
like a dance lesson. It's a kshatriya. What are you putting on? I don't think it's quite right. Well, maybe. Just have this in the front. So is that better?
Yeah.
Someone's just mouthing the words, but really doesn't want the heart purified. Now Krishna knows. He may still help, and he still does help, but you're dependent on Prabhupada Janti. But if a devotee really is sincere, and that was a nice thing that Maharaj said, that sincerity in itself doesn't mean perfection, but sincerity brings perfection. Then Krishna will certainly, Yoga Kshema Vahami, Krishna will not let that person falter or fail. He'll become successful in spiritual life, even if he's carrying a lot of baggage from the past, and even if there's so many difficulties. Sincerity is never ignored, but Krishna's timing and our timing may vary. Looks okay. Oh, you got it. Ton of house, but.
Így kell úgy, hogy egy hátulról kell kezdeni, és akkor ott elől összekapcsolod. Jó, így csinálta, így kell.
Way of dressing is to have our heads shaven and then we're tilak and everything's just quite clean shaven for the men. I was just wondering why Guru Kishore Das Babaji, like, he had a beard and was just like very different to how I thought meant to be.
Beard is generally when you see Vaishnavas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so on, either they're following Chaturmasya or often for Babaji's, those who are just living in the Dham, shaving once a month is sort of standard. Like you see, it isn't that he's got long, long hair. In other words, the reason that he doesn't cut his hair. But it's just longish with a beard. So often they would just, that's the austerity. Shaving is an austerity and not shaving is an austerity. They're both austerities. And so they would generally do it once a month, and then Chaturmasya, they wouldn't do it. Performance. And then that's the austerity. But Prabhupada said in the beginning that Vaishnavas dress in two ways. Either they shave their hair or they don't shave their hair. In other words, you do it permanently. Either you don't cut it all, which means you have long, long hair and beard. And there's also some Vaishnavas like that. But for preaching, it's Prabhupada and other Vaishnavas, they would shave because not shaving resembles too many other types of unsavory conduct, especially in the West. hippies and so many other people who were just with long hair, and we'll get mistaken for them. Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to get mistaken. He was very strong on that. Well, I guess when bad things happen, then even one is too many. And it's not sort of exclusive to ISKCON, but rather to Vaishnavism. Or even exclusive to Vaishnavism, rather it's common to any religious institution, anyone who's trying to go against the flow of Kali Yuga, unless they're very, very strong, and they succumb. You can't help but succumb. So fall downs come from two things. One is when devotees don't properly execute Krishna consciousness, and the other is if they commit offenses. So those two things result in fall down. And why the devotees fall down in ISKCON? For those two reasons. If one is very particular and strong in morning program, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles nicely, then it can't fall down. But if devotees don't follow those, then they will fall down. So it's a matter of, when we say, well, so many, as if, you know, it's not an implication that the process doesn't work. It's just that the devotees have the free will, and, or do they have the stamina to continue on practicing Krishna consciousness according to the standard that gives them protection from material energy. And even fall down can be sort of a relative term. You know, what's a fall down? Fall down may mean giving up regulative principles. Fall down may mean not preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness according to the order of the acharyas. Fall down may mean being very, very strict in your practices and yet still having a wrong philosophical point of view because of some other motivation. Krishna says, Manusam Sahasyeshu Kashidyatati Siddhaye. But it's, you know, it's where there will be casualties on the path of Krishna consciousness, but the casualties will be there as a result of these things. You have to be very determined to really become freed from the influence of the material energy. So it's not enough. Just believing in Krishna. There's a lot of people around the world called Hindus who believe in Krishna. In one sense, they're all in the fallen category. They're tainted by Mayavad. Material success is more important for them than anything else. They may be law-abiding, they may be religious, they may come to the temple regularly, they may be faithful in terms of their family relationships and so on. But still, they may be fallen by real standard of the acharyas and scripture. And then that's history. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, then it talks about many personalities who went through difficult periods. Starts with Vyasadeva, compiler of the Vedas. He's feeling dissatisfied. Narada Muni comes, and first thing he tells him is, "Are you happy that you misled everybody?" That's falling down. But still, then he was corrected and directed. Of course, that's Krishna's arrangement. But then it just, continues on, one after the other. Maharaj Chitraketu and so many other personalities who, Lord Shiva himself, Lord Brahma. And falling down also doesn't necessarily mean the end of spiritual life. It may mean a temporary break. It may mean that they have to forego success in this lifetime or for some years, but then want to continue. Bharat Maharaj, another example. One lifetime he fell down, and it became a deer. And then as a deer, became Jadbarat. Then when it became Jadbarat, then it continued. So, fall down doesn't mean the end of spiritual life. It may mean a process. It's an undesirable part of the process. But Narada Muni starts off like that. Chaktvasodharman charanam bhajam hare. He says, well, even if someone falls down, but still they'll continue in the future. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that's already there. So there's no, because if someone's, unless someone's a real aparadi, if someone's a real aparadi, then he could really destroy his devotional kripa. But if it's just due to weakness or not properly executing devotional service, then they'll continue in the future. And although Prabhupada was very sad to see that, but it was part of the reality. The fact that we're taking up Krishna consciousness now already means that we fell down in the past. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here now. So who knows what our past activities were. So one shouldn't be discouraged by it, but rather take heart and say, well, I'm going to learn from someone else's situation and not make the same mistake as they made. Thank you.